If Love and Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not
right.
Yeah, that's true, you do got me. Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, host of the show, man. Stairs on the sauce with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Go take a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever and cute as can be. You can watch this on YouTube with you for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Ah, morning, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on a beautiful Tuesday down here in South Florida. Try not to melt, people.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dude.
So hot.
You just wonder, and you're like, you look at the calendar and you're just like, man, we probably got another 2 months of this.
I remember like this past Sunday, I tee off at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
At 8:30, it was 90.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh my goodness.
Soupy. My goodness. Soupy, dude. It's rough. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
You surviving this brutal heat? All right.
I feel like after this weekend, I'm pretty good on the heat. So yeah. I feel like I can survive anything if I went to Disney in August. So
that's true. That is a rough one. That's a rough one to bounce right there with outdoor concerts going on right now.
I went to Morgan Wallen a couple weeks ago. I love torturing myself. Apparently
it is. It's a rough one.
Well, then keep in mind when you go to the concert, you got to have a couple of drinks.
Of course.
So that's not helping
of
either.
Of course. Yeah. No question. We'll get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai dealer store in the nation. They just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. We are going to talk to the man who drafted Leroy Horde today. Michael Lombardi is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk some footy football with him. He is now the general manager of North Carolina.
Yeah. That's a... I mean, there's no salary cap, you're capped at how much money you're given by, you know, your people.
Yep. Pretty wild.
I think there's a, like, and I'm not certain, but I think the role of some of these guys is to evaluate, you know, how much a guy's worth, right? So that some guy doesn't just come in and say, oh, well, so-and-so's offering me X amount of dollars for NIL. You're going to beat that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can just get a general idea of what the player's value is and kind of come up with a number. And I think that's what the role of those guys are because, I mean, a coach is just trying to bring in as much talent as possible. But now with NIL, you kind of have to be careful that you don't bring, you know, players in just because you can get them, but players that are going to be effective on your team.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And there's so much less info on it too, right? Because you're doing, it's already hard enough with college athletes and free agency,
dude,
and real pro sports. Now you got to do it with teams and transfers.
You want me to tell you a story? So,
I love stories.
I can't think of the guy's name. Michigan recruited a quarterback from Texas. Had to be sight unseen, right? He broke every Texas record that there was, right? Threw for like 60, 70 touchdowns. Was awesome. He was like 5'10", right? Everybody had questions, you know, just questions because sometimes if you don't look the part, you want to see something that stands out, right? Lightning fast, piss whistle for an arm, things of that nature, right? You can see it in practice. Mm-hmm. It's what separates you, even though you don't have the body type. Guy comes in, throws his first pass, powder puff.
Oof.
So we were like, he must have only threw to the tight end because you can't throw it deep, right? So we're just trying to come up with reasons as to why he was so successful.
Right.
After maybe a year, we asked him because he was never going to play at Michigan. We could tell after a month. He played eight-man football in Texas.
I didn't even know there was a thing back then.
Yeah. It was either eight men or not 7-on-7, but it was like eight man tackle football or something along those lines.
Huh.
And we were like, huh.
Never heard of such a thing.
This is incredible.
So the Marlins yesterday, they fall to the Astros 8-2. Sandman, he got pelted around, 6 runs in 7 innings, especially had a rough fourth inning that second time through the lineup.
That's his thing, right? One bad inning.
That's his thing. And they were all sitting on his breaking stuff, and they were all just waiting for, you know, whatever curveball or changeup he was throwing. They were just whacking him around the park. And then the Marlins, they got back-to-back homers from Javier Sanoja and Derek Hill, and you're kind of just like, "Oh, Fisher kind of back. Are we getting back into this thing?" And they were down 4. And then in the 8th inning, dude, never fails. It never fails. 2 outs, you got yourself a chance to get out of the inning. If you give another team life the way the Marlins did with this mental blunder, and it's tough because Otto Lopez has had an awesome season, but in a situation, they basically get a ground ball to Wagamon. He steps on the base, throws a dart to Otto Lopez. All he's got to do is tag the runner. And the runner gave up. He's like, but Otto Lopez just like let him go by because he, for some reason, didn't, I guess, realize that Wagamon touched first base. So he was getting ready to turn 2. So like he throws to first. He's like, Wagamon steps on the bag. So he's got to throw to Lopez. He's about to step on shortstop and turn 2. He's already like, you know, you're the 2. You're the 2.
Right.
You tag.
Usually, and this is from my baseball days, usually when you touch first base, you throw the ball and say tag, tag, tag.
I'm sure. Right. I know. It's just.
You practice it all the time. Like, these are like drills you have where you practice all these different scenarios. And it's the same thing in any sport. But for whatever reason, there's certain things that catch you off guard. And that's what it seems like. Like, what are we doing?
So that obviously cost the Marlins because inevitably 2 more hits and the Astros tack on 2 more runs. And right. So that kind of killed the comeback effort. And then not only that, but then you had in the next inning, they were starting to start the inning nice off again. And Augustin Ramirez gets thrown out of third. And you're just like, oh, jeez. So not
that
the cleanest.
That far down, do you even – you don't want the out, right?
It was a bad base running blunder. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
It serves no purpose when you're down to be on second or third. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. It was a bad base running blunder. So typically, the Marlins, who have played excellent defense, clean, you know, that effort to have a comeback bid was short circuited by some dumb errors on their part. So hopefully, they'll bounce back tonight. Cal Quantrill on the hill tonight at 6:40.
Right.
The Miami Hurricanes, they were ranked 10th in the coaches poll, Leroy, that came out yesterday.
I can see it.
Here's
where they're going to be. They are going to be so dominant, I think, on the offensive line that they can control the game however they want to, whether it's running the football, pass protection, and I think that's going to be the strength of their team. The unknown is the defense. Regardless of who you added or not, all I have is that scar on my brain from the defense of last year.
Oh, yeah. It was inevitably rough. I mean, It was bad. And especially as the season went on.
Correct.
I feel like they got worse.
Right.
You know, and you're hopeful that this year with the Heatherman coming in from Minnesota with that great beard, great jaw. Seems intense.
Right.
That he's going to have the Canes in a much better place. But your top 10 to the coaches poll, which does not get as much respect as the other polls, but it is out.
Okay.
Texas 1, Ohio State 2, Penn State 3, Georgia 4, Notre Dame, who of course the Canes open with, 5, 6 Clemson, 7 Oregon, 8 Alabama, 9 my family.
You know LSU. What sucks about that? Here's what truly sucks about that. Notre Dame should never start above 15. And here's why. Because who they play, right? Who they play, if you rank them too high, then they already have a head start on everybody because of their schedule. And that sucks, right? Like, it would be the equivalent of, like, think of SMU last year. SMU crawled up the ranks. They didn't really play anybody until they played Clemson in the ACC championship game. But if they were ranked 9 at the start of the season, at the end of the season, they would have been number 1. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's built on that preconceived notion of what you got to do, for sure.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like all these teams are playing each other. So, for example, Miami plays Notre Dame. I mean, Miami plays Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
That's really their only, you know, like game where you talking about competitive.
They got Florida the next week. They started.
But when you look at all these other teams, like the SEC, right, who are – if you ranked in the top 5 and you end up in the top 5, you've beat some really good teams to stay there. Like, Notre Dame has a 2-game gauntlet. That's it. Two, maybe three.
They're playing, you know, it's not as much air armed forces as it usually is. I'm looking at it right now.
What do we got?
We got at Miami, okay. Texas A&M.
All right.
Purdue at Arkansas.
Okay. You're threatened by Arkansas?
It's not taking on the Air Force.
Okay. Okay, go.
Without Boise at home. Boise. NC State. They got a lot of ACC teams. I don't know if like
they have to play. They have to play, I think, 5 ACC games.
Yeah. They got SC like they usually do. BC at Pitt, Syracuse, and at Stanford. Who I think has the longest odds in the ACC. Sure. But, and by the way, Stanford being in the ACC, never not going to be weird.
Right. Exactly.
It's not going to be, I'm sorry. I don't get used to that. I know that they're all super conferences. I don't like all these teams. I miss the Pac-12. I do. When it was really a conference. Oh, hello!
Hello.
Don't think, what happened today? Train?
You know, I've got to say, traffic was good, you know, while school was out. Business is picking back up. I don't like it.
Next week, it's going to be hell.
Oh, it's going to be rough. Yeah, it's going to be rough. We got to figure out that first morning routine. Not looking forward to Monday, that's for sure.
Oh,
and goodness. You guys were right. It's so hot.
Yeah, it is brutal out there. Outside. It is brutal.
And you're hot when I'm freezing in there. So you're
imagine
like,
that. So the double the heat.
Right. So outside, you got to just be just dying.
I'm melting
brutal.
Outside.
Brittany, we have learned you're a hardcore Canes fan. What do you think about the 10th ranking? Are you okay with this? Not too much pressure, but it's you know, you're coming in with a little bit of heat as a top 10 preseason team.
I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with it. I think they have an opportunity to go 4-0 at the beginning of the season. I think that's really why they're up there. They have a rather easy schedule other than Notre Dame and Florida. So I'm okay with it. I do feel that, because I know you always tell me I'm so negative, but I had this
conversation. No. I don't say that. I don't say that. I mean, it just happens to be your answers on everything I've asked you, but I don't think that.
I'm trying to be optimistic about this team, but I think Notre Dame's a big test for us, and I see a lot of people saying that we're going to, you know, beat the crap out of them. I don't know that that's the case. I think a lot of people, I think there's a spectrum of Hurricane fans right now that are like really high on Carson Beck and think he's like going to win the Heisman Trophy. And then there's some that are like, he really sucks. And I think he's right in the middle of that. So yeah. I have a lot, like, he's right in the middle. He's not leaning either way. So I'm comfortable with 10, but I'm not confident that that will last long.
Are you nervous about Carson Beck?
Yeah, I'm nervous about Carson Beck for sure.
You know what it is about Carson Beck? I do feel like, you know, you
he's
listen.
He's Kirk Cousins.
Honestly, I think it's the opposite. It's not, well, maybe style-wise, but I feel like right. He's been in too many headlines this offseason for the wrong reasons. And I just, like, I'm watching Cam Ward. You know, I'm just like, I'm watching all these press conferences and he's just giving everybody the goose. I'm just like, man.
I think that's there obviously has to be an understanding that, like, we will potentially never see a Cam Ward again. And we have to understand that, like, Carson Beck isn't Cam Ward. But mostly, like, I just feel that Carson Beck in his Georgia years was carried a lot by his defense. And last season, we know that the Hurricanes defense was a big, big problem. And they've kind of cleaned house a little bit. So I'm really interested to see if the defense is, you know, is decent, then he doesn't have to do as much on offense like Cam Ward had to
run
do.
So I think that's something they're going to lean into.
Basically, what you're saying is if the defense is better, Carson Beck does not have to be Cam Ward.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What it is. Essentially, that's exactly my point. So I think the defense is really important.
I feel you. We could kind of say that about the Dolphins, but flipped.
Yeah.
Because the defense has been, even with all of the problems they've had, they've been more reliable up front than the offense has been. And you put your defense in a lot of bad spots last year. So if the offense just, they don't have to be great, even though they have great players. Mm-hmm. If they're just more consistent,
I think that's the thing with the Hurricanes, though. Like, in the past, I think all of you can agree, it's like each side of the ball is good at different times. They're never good at the same time. They're never decent at the same time. So if we could just have an even team where, you know, the defense, you know, they do the best they can and the offense is the best they can, I don't see a world where, you know, it's going to go too terribly for the Hurricanes this season.
I can already tell you, like, my ultimate thing too is I'm with you. I think the early part of the season, I'm confident. It's always a late season ACC that I'm terrified of.
It's always a random.
Yep. And it's like, we don't have a Syracuse game this year, thankfully, but still there's teams in the ACC that,
oh, there's going to be at Pitt at noon.
Yeah, that's a classic game for the Hurricanes to lose. A classic game.
the thing about Syracuse that everybody overlooked is they were the Canes kryptonite. And that is extremely good on offense.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Like, the highest scoring team in the ACC. The quarterback was the best in the ACC. Like, really, really good offensively against your biggest weakness. And that, sometimes those things happen, right? It's like when the defense has no cornerbacks, they're all banged up, and you got to face Randy Moss. It's kind of like one of those things. That's what happened against them. So the fact that they don't have to play these teams, doesn't matter, because you're always going to have one or two of those teams that you face that are really good on one side of the ball, and you just have to be competent.
I mean, Louisville, we have Louisville on a Friday night, I believe, at 7, which is another classic game that I feel like the Canes would lose. So
at least it's at home, though.
At least it's at home, but still, it's rough. It's rough.
I'll have to deliver that dumbass Jack Harlow off into the end zone. Anyway, we'll take a break here on the show. Lots to get into with your South Florida sports landscape. We'll take a break back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy with you here, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. How'd you guys like to see the Zach Brown Band at the Sphere in Las Vegas this December? Zach with a C, Leroy. Z-A-C. Yeah. Not like Zach Sealer, who just got a bunch of money. Sealer it on up. No, Zach Brown is going to be at the Sphere in Las Vegas, and you guys can go with our contest. All you got to do, log on to the Odyssey app, guys. You're already doing it. Log on to the Odyssey app. You listen to WQM for 1 hour, even for our listeners out here, right? Or our viewers out here. I got a little cheat code for you. Log on to the Odyssey app. If you still want to watch us, just put it on Mutesky. Just say, keep it there for an hour. I don't know. And I'm just saying, if you want to game the system, you still like seeing our ugly mugs on camera, whatever. But either way, you guys can be entered for listening 1 hour each day. You keep on listening every day. You get more chances to win. What is the winner going to get? You're going to receive round-trip airfare to Las Vegas, 2 tickets to see Zach Brown, and a 2-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, which is directly connected to the Sphere. So don't miss out. Log on to the Odyssey app now. It's a national contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/Zach, as Leroy said. That's Z-A-C, odyssey.com/Zach. And a special thanks to the Messina Touring Group. I saw Leroy. Were you on the ESPN radio yesterday?
With Amber
Wilson. Really?
Yeah.
Wilson.
It was short. I wanted to say, since you've been gone, all my chicken wings are safe.
Oh, man. Yeah, she is a scavenger.
Let me tell you what this Amber Wilson used to do. So we would go, we had these things that we would go to on Monday night at these bars down in Miami. Me, her, Tobin. They feed us. Me and Tobin, hey, we'll split an order of wings and get a hamburger or something like that. Amber goes, I'll have a lettuce wedge.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are you kidding? The food comes. Immediately, her face is filled with barbecue or hot sauce because she says, I didn't order them, so technically I didn't have wings.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, apparently charity wings or thievery wings don't count in Amber Wilson's world. Well, what did they want to talk? What did she want to talk about yesterday?
The Dolphins.
Ah.
The Dolphins and, like, you know, how they, you know, they ask the same questions about Tyreek and Tua and, you know, the offensive line and whatever. And, you know, my thought has been consistent. Like, everywhere that Mike McDaniel has been, right, they've played offensive football a certain way. It's been physical. Right, when you think about Atlanta, in fact, why did they lose the Super Bowl? Stop running the football.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You think of they were in Cleveland. That's all Cleveland did with Chubb. Then you go to San Francisco. San Francisco, although they had a lot of trick plays, they were known as a physical team.
Right. He's the guy who finds Jeff Wilson for San Francisco, Mostert.
Right. So then he comes here and, you know, they get Tyreek and whatever. And the first year they ran the ball really well.
We have Raheem Mostert breaking records.
Right. They ran the ball really well. And then they kind of got away from it for whatever reason. Right. And I just basically said, I know he's a good football coach. I know that, like, this is not what he's done in the past. So I'm like flabbergasted by this offense.
It is interesting. Like, you know, take it for what it's worth, but I was watching some of Teron Armstead, you know, cause he was at camp this past week and he was talking about that. He does feel like he sees a changed Mike McDaniel, that a guy's like, you know, even with the practices being intense, he's still getting on guys, especially star players. So it feels like he sees a little bit of a difference in him. I know Zach Seeler spoke a little bit about this yesterday as well. You just hope that's the growth. Like, I do think there is a lot that you get kind of thrown into the fire of this stuff of, like, you got to not only call plays for the first time in your career, but then you got to also run this team.
And
you come in as the big star power guy. I can relate to stars, and it doesn't maybe go as smooth as you thought it would. And now it seems like he's, I don't know, leaning into more guys he can truly count on.
Which is, you know what, in here.
Not that you don't need talent. I mean, obviously you need talent.
We talk about the development of players. In fact, we're sometimes a little impatient with the development of players because when they come into the league, they're only prospects. They're not NFL players yet. Some of them transition well. Some of them it takes a little bit, right? But we think coaches are supposed to be successful right away, and especially new coaches. Like, he had to go through some lumps and trying to figure things out, too. It's not like you hired a veteran coach. He's never been a head coach before. So, and sometimes I think with newer coaches, if you have success too soon, it makes you think that you're doing it right.
Right.
And so they kind of got caught up because they were having success offensively. And it was specific that, oh, we can run this style of offense. Then December and January hit and you realize,
Yeah, and especially when you see, like, oh, everybody's starting to copy your stuff around the league with the motion and all that stuff, but you're still kind of swimming in it because you've been snuffed out a little bit and you have no counterpunch to go to.
Right. And for people that talk about and I think one of the dumbest things that I've heard on TV by people talking about football is that they should outlaw too deep. Right?
Yeah.
And here's the problem. You know what gets you out of too deep? Running the football. Because you only got seven guys. Mm-hmm. If you can run the football with seven guys, right, that'll bring that other safety down. If you don't, then they're just going to play deep and dare you to throw it underneath and just make you methodically. Football has gotten too. They want offense to methodically move the ball down the field. Because if you go more than 10 plays, and this is, I did not invent this. This was a Bill Belichick thing. He says, if you can get an offense to run more than 10 plays in a drive, they'll screw up before you will. So that'll end up with a second and 15 or a second and 20 from holding. They're not going to run. He says, the percentages are with us. If you just play solid defense for 10 plays, that the offense at some point in that time is going to screw up and end up behind the chains. So, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get more into it. We got to hear from Zach Sealer as well, who got his munion yesterday. We'll take a break. Back with more for this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. The channel Miami 560 WQAM. You guys can watch us there. Joe Rose, now streaming live on YouTube and Twitch as well. I saw the big dog. Watched a little bit of him this morning. You know, I like it. Now I can throw him on my TV instead of those idiots from Get Up. It's nice. It's easier for me, Leroy. Sit there and be like, oh, do I want to watch another Micah Parsons segment? Nah, I'm going to throw on the big dog. Much easier for me.
How do they look?
They look good. Look good. Big dog. Listen, the big dog was a big TV star for a long time down here. This is nothing new for him.
I remember when we were in the same studio. They were in where the Spanish station is now. And we did a show at the same time.
We could see through. And then we went over there. And then we went back.
Yep.
And full circle. So anyway, check that out. Also, want to let you guys know, with the Dolphins getting ready for their first preseason game this Sunday against the Bears, the NFL regular season underway, Canes camp, Marlins, Heat, Panthers. You guys keep up to all of it in your ears as well. Just listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. Make Tobin and Leroy your favorite show, everybody. Let us get to the mix bag. All right. First, we'll start off with Leroy Horde's first professional franchise, the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, yesterday signed Snoop Huntley because all their quarterbacks are hurt. All those quarterbacks that they have, they're all hurt. They're all of them. All of them. Two hammies and a sore arm.
Hey, can I just say what is happening to the Cleveland Browns? It's kind of what's happening to the Dolphins, but at a less important position. And cornerback's pretty important, but they ran up cornerback through cornerbacks like it ain't nothing. And that's kind of one of the positions you were trying to reload.
Yep.
You look at the Browns. Oh, my goodness. You had a whole room full of quarterbacks. You had more quarterbacks than running backs.
They had
You ran up through all of them?
Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett got hammies. Which, how much running are they doing? Are they running for their life in Cleveland? What's going on there?
They move around and they, you know, do scramble drills and all that. So they got to do some running.
They got bitten by the hammy bug. And then Shedeur Sanders is dealing with a sore shoulder, but he is, I guess, running first team right now because he's the least of the injured. So our old friend Snoop Huntley is back in Cleveland.
Wow.
Yep. By the way, also,
it's pretty amazing.
Also, by the way, shout out to Teddy Bridgewater, who apparently is signing with the Bucks today.
Yep.
Signing with the Bucks. But speaking of Shedeur, he was asked about his father, very famous. His name is Deion Sanders, for you kids out there. And has been asked why Prime hasn't been out at camp yet. Here's what he had to say on that.
I don't want him coming to see me right now because I want to get to where I want to go then for him to see me. I don't want him to come and see me, you know, get a couple reps and, you know, he's cheering like a good dad. Like, nah, you can't be proud of me right now. I got to get to where I'm going, and I know it's a lot I got to do to get there. So it's kind of like I just want everything that I'm doing is just, like, focus on this time, and I don't want no distractions because we know out of media, we know how everybody will take it and take away from the team just from him being my own dad showing up. So, you know, it's a gift and a curse at the same time.
There you go, Shedeur Sanders. Yep.
Very and very accurate. Very accurate. Like, is there a more polarizing sports figure in the last 25 years than Deion?
I mean, it's been weird seeing it, especially with the coaching.
Right. But it's just like, yeah, like he's one of those people that, you know, he always has an audience, always. So if he were just to go and say, you know what, I want to see my son before I start camp, it would kind of be a distraction to his son, not to him. He's used to it.
Right.
Right.
Especially in the position that he's in right now. I think if his son was the number two overall pick, it's different. You know, he's going to go in there with some cachet. His son's in a position where he's got to earn his way. And honestly, maybe this is the opportunity that opens the door for him. I don't know.
Right.
Everybody getting hurt.
Right.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that all turns out. Meanwhile, his workout mate, who is now the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, mentioned him earlier in the show, Cam Ward. This is Cam Ward discussing why he loves football so much, why he works so hard at football, because he loves it and he watched his dad grow up and do something that he didn't like. Here's Cam Ward.
I said, yes, sir. I've grown up, watched my dad wake up at 4:30 doing a job he didn't like. So, you know, if I can't wake up early and do what I need to do for a job I do like, I shouldn't be playing football. And that goes for everybody in the locker room. If you can't have the expectation for yourself that you want to be with a good or a great player and want to put the work in, I just think that's how it should go. I just think good things only come to those who work.
There you go. Cam Ward yesterday or over the weekend.
I got to tell you, every time you hear him talk, you're like, man.
The best.
The best.
The best. I think I'm betting on them to win the division. I'm taking a flyer.
Tennessee?
Yeah, I got to take a flyer on someone.
But it's not a flyer.
Still, they got the longest odds.
To win their division?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll go Houston is one. Who is it? Jacksonville two?
Jacksonville, Colts. At least the last time I checked. I'll check right now.
And then Tennessee?
Yep.
Wow. They picked the Colts over them?
Mm-hmm. Huh. I'll check again. That's what unless it's flipped during the preseason. Division futures. Yep. By a lot, too. Tennessee is Houston's plus 100, Jags are plus 300, Colts plus 375, and Tennessee's plus 750.
Huh. That's odd. Like, it shouldn't be that much from first to last in that division, when all you got to basically do is be a little bit over 500.
Yep. I'm with you, Ricky Bobby. Here's a little more Cam Ward. He says that there's not many people that he talks to.
Going on D&D, wake up, watch film. I talk to five people a day, so besides my teammates. So I only talk to parents and then dog. That's really it. So I just be chilling, go home, and I don't really do too much, eat and go to sleep. And I think the biggest thing was just whether you're college or NFL, you just got to have a routine. You know, I've had a routine for a couple of years now, and it's been helping me since.
Do you feel like Cam Ward's dog is also locked in, or does he actually get some relaxing time with his dog?
Man, dogs don't care what you did at work. They want to play.
I don't know.
They want the toy. Right? You think the dog is like, yo, you got to feed me at like 5 because...
Yeah, that's what I wonder. It's like, is the dog routine oriented?
Bedtime is 9.
Or does he march to his own beat?
Well, I would say in camp, your day is really long. You're not done until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Right? So I don't know if it's different now.
Yeah.
But we used to, you know, that was the thing. So
Timbo says that dog's going over film.
Wait a minute. You gotta check that.
Could you imagine? I'll tell you, I think Cam Ward's dog is locked in.
The dog looks up and say, "Well, hey boss, what were you thinking there?" And Cam says something back to him.
I definitely see Cam. Yeah, no, because like Cam Ward's definitely like, if he's talking to his dog, he's definitely got a dog voice, like, you know, back to him. That's definitely happening. It's definitely happening. Another man who is who puts in that work is Zach Sealer. We'll hear more about his contract situation, but he was asked yesterday about his buddy, Christian Wilkins, and everything that he is going through. And this is what Zach Sealer had to say with all the headlines around Christian Wilkins.
This is about you and your signing, but one of your buddies, Christian, is kind of going through a rough time. Have you talked to him?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of negative things that are being said about who he is and what he is.
Yeah.
What do you want to say on that behalf? As
I love Christian like a brother. He's the godfather to my son, and he's that for a reason. I love that man. He is a character in every sense of the being, and I think that everything he does is with passion and energy. And I do hate to see him going through this, and I know he'll bounce back, and I don't know all the aspects. I've actually asked him specifically not to give me any of the details, and I don't want to know. What they're working through is what they're working through, but I know I will be here for him. Any day he needs to call, anytime he needs to give me a ring and just talk about life or anything outside of that, I'm always here for him, and I always will be.
There you go, Zach Sealer on Christian Wilkins.
That's what friends are. Like, in case you guys, you know, we live in a world now that if you have a really good friend and they do something wrong, then you're not supposed to be their friend anymore. Or they go get in a situation, you're not supposed to be their friend.
Right.
And I was always confused by this with OJ, because I used to golf with him. And, you know, he got caught up in some crazy stuff for a few years, right? Did some jail time.
He did?
And I always fought internally about, can you still be somebody's friend and not like something they did?
Right.
And people tend to, it makes me look better if I dissociate with that guy that I called my friend on yesterday. So I appreciate hearing Zach say that, because that means he's a real dude. Like,
yep.
You know, whatever he hears, it don't matter that Christian is his friend. And I always wonder, do we all feel that way? Because if we have a good friend that does something crazy, right, it's almost easier on you to just dissociate with him, even if what he or she did was just a terrible act.
I got distracted by Croquette King, who says that Cam Ward's dog gets all the other dogs together on the block to go over film from their failed attempt prior to that week to get the mailman.
Really, so he's breaking it down. He say, Snauzer, you gotta cut him off. Snauzer, Pitbull, you just bark. He gonna look at you. Snauzer is gonna run him towards us, and then we gonna get him.
Cheetah's dog is showing up late for stretch.
Where's Cheetah's dog? What kind of dog you think she'd have? A Pomeranian?
Dan South says Cam Ward's dog told Shador's dog he's not working hard enough. Oh, man. We'll take a break. Hour two is next.